Before we get into our special podcast coverage of Spy Games, the new reality show on Bravo here on Rob is a Podcast, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Credible. Credible.com is the online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. Yeah, you don't have to be James Bond to be able to figure out where to get a better rate to refinance your student loan debt. Because if you've got student loan debt, you can benefit, because with a lower rate, you could save on interest or lower your monthly payment. Sometimes both. With a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster. There's lots of reasons why you would use Credible to refinance your student loans. On Credible, you can see the actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders. Other marketplaces, you'll get a range of rates that are ballpark estimates. It only takes a couple of minutes to check your rates. Checking your rates also does not impact your credit. Credible is so confident that they've got the best rates that they're going to give you $200 if you refinance your student loan with a better rate somewhere else. And they never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders. Visit Credible.com/Rob. That's Credible.com/ROB. And when you refinance your student loans via Credible, they'll give you a $200 gift card. Fill in a couple of pieces of information to check what rates you're eligible for. Again, that is at Credible.com/Rob. Refinance your student loans and start saving. Credible.com/Rob. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here for some special coverage of a brand new show that just started on Bravo Network. We're talking about Spy Games, and we're talking about it with the only man who it would be appropriate to discuss a new reality TV offering. Here he is, a man who has been a part of a RHAP tradition dating back to 2013. Where we talk about random reality TV shows that are premiering. Here is The Tabulator, Kurt Clark.
Robert, how are you?
Kurt Clark. Yes. Kurt, how are you? Kurt, in the studio, I should add.
Yeah, just up the street. So it makes us, you know, easy to do, doing well.
Yes. Kurt is a recent resident of California. I keep reading on the internet, everybody's leaving California. Kurt has come in. Kurt has swooped in now.
Yep.
Yes. Said, hey, I want to, everybody's leaving. I want in.
One in, one out. I did my jobs. Now we need, like, I don't know how many other people to move here, but
yes. Well, yeah. You're all about the numbers. I'm going to try to keep the numbers even.
Yes.
So Kurt is here in California. And so Kurt is here in the studio. Got to see Kurt around the Survivor finale a couple of weeks ago, but Kurt's here to talk about Spy Games here on Bravo. So we'll explain what that is. We'll have a full recap, spoilers about the episode. I do believe that episodes 1 and 2 are available online. Do you know if that's the truth?
Yeah, I think like the Bravo TV app, or there's probably other ways to see it as well. I've only seen the initial episode.
Yes, we'll only be talking about the initial episode, but I do believe that you can go online and watch it if you haven't recorded it, if you want to go and watch it and then come back and hear us talk about the first episode of Spy Games, which we'll be talking about full spoilers of Spy Games here. But Kurt, what a run it's been going back to 2013 when you and I believe that was it. Whodunit was first?
You know what? I meant to do my homework. I believe Whodunit was first.
Let's see if we can put it together.
Okay.
In 2013, we talked about Whodunit.
Whodunit.
In 2014, we talked about The Quest.
I believe Opposite Worlds was like in January.
Opposite Worlds.
Yeah.
Then The Quest. Then Utopia. 2014, I talked about it was the best year of Survivor in the decade. It might have been the best total year of reality TV.
Yep.
Right. That was all in 2014.
Capped off with that Utopia you mentioned, which was an amazing 6 episodes.
Yes. Was it only 6 episodes?
Yes, it was only 6. I think it culminated in that Halloween episode.
That was only 6 episodes or 6 weeks?
Well, Yes,
a week.
Oh my! I think it was just six episodes.
Okay,
I could be wrong, but
all right.
Yeah.
we went then in 2015. Was there anything?
I don't think so. I think you have to go
a year off.
I think we might have had a couple years off. We had to. There were like Hunted was what 2018 or 2017.
When, might have been the beginning of 20. I don't know. It's all. What else was there?
We cannot forget the most recent excursion with $1 Million Mile.
$1 Million Mile. Sure.
Rob, how could you forget $1 Million Mile?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That was totally excusable. Lots of podcasts going on there. Gotta forgive him. So, all right, we're going to talk about spy games here on Bravo. I believe the first time we're talking about a Bravo show.
Yeah, we do cover us two. We do cover Top Chef.
Yes.
This actually had in terms of the judging in the end game, it was actually a little Top Chef reminiscent.
Yes.
But otherwise, yeah, for you and I, this is the first experimental coverage of Bravo.
Okay, Kurt, what appealed to you about spy games?
The theme, not knowing exactly what the format of the
not
game.
Not the music, but the actual idea of the premise of the show. Well, you're a Mr. Escape Room. You're like a spy.
I'm very much like a spy, except as we learned that if you put yourself out on social media as much as I do, you probably don't make a very good spy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the theme. I think there was a small nugget inside of me that was hoping there would be kind of these echoes of The Mole that came out of this.
Not Hunted?
I think there's a little... No.
You didn't think that would be the case.
We just have Evie from Hunted as one of the judges here.
Okay.
Otherwise, no, I was hoping for something more like The Mole and Missions and, yeah. And I got... touches of it.
Okay. Let's see if we can explain what spy games is. Because I think that people are going to listen to this podcast. I think we're going to have more people, if I had to guess, that if I was going to poll the people listening to this podcast, I would guess it's probably 80-20. 80% did not watch the episode and are looking for us to explain what this is. Should they check it out? Was it worth going back for?
Correct. I'm guessing that as well.
Yeah. So, all right, spy games. Can you explain what this show is? Because I really did not know. I was like, okay, they're spies. They're trying to be spies. Are these people who are like, because it's weird that it's a show about spying and learning to be a spy, but these are not people who are aspiring spies.
Right. It's people who are maybe spy curious.
Spy curious.
To me, it's actually like Top Chef in terms of.
But the people on Top Chef are cooks, right?
Yes. But I think in terms of the format of the game, you have some reality shows where the structure of the game determines who gets eliminated. And then you have skill based where things are a little bit more subjective. Where there's a panel of judges that determines who gets eliminated. So The Apprentice would be like that. Top Chef, Project Runway, we kind of fall into that group. And this is the same thing, where at least for the first episode, they are given a mission with a couple of different stages to it. And they are being judged by these assessors or assessed by these judges on how they did. And at the end, just like on Project Runway and on Top Chef, you have a top performing couple of people. You have a bottom performing couple of people. And one of the bottom performers ends up going home. So it was very much, and even like the end of it very much reminded me of The Apprentice, because you had this table, you had two people on one side, you had three people on the other side, and they just conferred and somebody went home.
Mm-hmm.
So at least for this first episode, they were given a mission, not too unlike Island of the Idols, where it's like, this is something that would get you ahead in the spy world if you could do this. And they were judged on how they performed at this task and were sent home accordingly.
All right. So we'll talk about this first mission that they went on. It's a weird show. $100,000 is on the line. Yeah. And I feel like that the premise of the show was really not super clear. It's just like, we're going to do spy stuff. There's going to be missions. And we kind of get thrown right into it with this cast.
Yes.
10 people.
Yeah, and thrown right into it in the terms of you start out in the middle of the first mission, they do this weird memento flashback to like 4 hours earlier. Yeah. This is where they were.
I hate that.
We don't need that in our reality TV.
We don't need that anywhere.
No.
We don't need that anywhere. Like, oh, everything's being crazy. And so we flash back to from this insanity to people like they're in a warehouse.
The black site, I believe.
Yes. And I feel like that Spy Games has... I'm not a spy. Everybody knows this. I'm not a covert operative, but I feel like that the show Spy Games has a weird idea of what some sort of subterfuge, covert intelligence operations are like.
But you'd think because the three assessors are all retired from some aspect of covert operations that. I'm trusting it's somewhat accurate.
I have no idea what the spy world is like, but I don't imagine in this post 9/11 world that the spy game is go put on a tuxedo and go mill about this fancy party. That's like to me that seems weird. I know that seems like that this is like an idealized version of like what a James Bond movie would be like in 1962. I don't know what we're doing here on this show.
It's like a TV budget. It's a TV budgeted theatrical take on what might happen. And then they maybe try to inject some reality into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird show.
It's a weird show.
And the first episode is weird. And we're going to then take everybody. And we really want to get everybody, gentlemen in tuxedos, ladies in a ball gown, evening gown. Was there a difference?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Okay. Evening gown. And so you're going to get super dressed up because you're a spy.
Yes. Yes.
You're going to dress for success to be a spy on Spy Games.
Yes. And they didn't exactly, I don't know if they were told ahead of time. They were told they had to dress for this black tie gala. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they, at what point they were told that it sounded like it was like a modeling agency mixer of some sort.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Yeah. That was the case. So once they get them dressed up, then they bring them to go camping.
Yes. And I actually didn't. I saw some folks online who were like, this is ridiculous. But at least they tried in the context of the show to explain. You might be all dressed up for this black tie event, but suddenly your contact says, I've got the information you need. I've got the goods and I'm going to meet you, off in the woods. You have to meet me there. So you just have to like kind of go on this detour. And they did explain it as, we want to see how they're going to be able to handle themselves at this event with this mission, with this mission at the event, which we'll talk about later, having kind of been thrown this curveball and they're not necessarily at the top of their game. They're dirty. They're smelly. They're disheveled. They're not necessarily thinking and firing in all cylinders.
Because this is a plausible scenario. You might be a spy. You might be hanging out at Davos, waiting for all the billionaires to come out and you're all dressed up, but then you get a call like, hey, you're sleeping in the woods tonight. And then but you got to shift gears.
You never know.
And you might have to get back into the World Economic Summit.
Yes, exactly. It's, I think, completely plausible. What I'm going to learn over this next, 8 weeks, if we're lucky, knock on wood, I feel like coming out of watching this show, I'm going to fully understand what it takes to be a spy.
We're going to understand what goes on.
I've already got the application from the CIA downloaded. I'm just like waiting to fill it out.
Okay. So there were two groups, but there's not teams on this show, right, Kurt?
No, they're not now. It looked like potentially next week there may be. And I'm sure they could form groups down the road. But yeah, probably just because there were two campsites.
And if we seem a little confused, like maybe we didn't see the show, I feel like that Spy Games did not do a great job of opening the show up and explaining what we're doing here.
No, yeah, it starts out like the shed that they go to. Like, I was just like, do they have to figure out how to get it into the shed and what's in the shed?
Yeah.
I think they kind of alluded that their supplies, like their tents and everything, were in there. But it was really kind of yada yada until you get to the point where they're at two different campsites. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot more time on campsite one than two, and trying to set up their tents, and they're just kind of talking.
Yeah.
But it didn't it seemed to last forever, I think, because I was pausing and taking notes and pausing and taking notes. I think that whole camping section took maybe 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah. This was, again, I really don't understand the camping other than it was, we're throwing you off your game.
Yes.
We want you to stink when you go to the party. And eventually we're going to get to the party. And then finally we get a chance for some of our characters to come out here in Spy Games. And this fancy party that they go to is at like some
SDK.
Modeling agency.
Yeah. Sponsored at a restaurant. It was a modeling agency or mixer at an SDK restaurant and this does take place in Atlanta. So we're familiar hunted stomping grounds here in the Southeast. So
yes, no Ron Clark sightings.
Not yet. No,
not
although
yet.
I swear I thought I saw Davey in the background of the. So where's Davey? He might be at the SDK mixer.
He's a good dresser, also.
Yeah, exactly.
He would fit in at the modeling party. Okay, so we get to start to meet some of our characters. Do you have any standouts, Kurt, that you met in Spy Games that you can help us get acquainted with?
I think it's this. I don't know what this says about me is I can't wait to see more of George.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
George is a mix of nothing goes right for this guy. And some of it is through no fault of his own. And some of it is through complete fault of his own.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of a couple of people that got the real Dodo edit from the Spy Games that George. Do we know what his occupation is in the real world?
Yeah, he's a luxury auto marketing. I believe he's like in Long Beach, actually. So he's a local to LA.
According to the bio, Long Beach via Houston, Texas. He is an entrepreneur, race car driver, world traveler, and environmentalist.
Oh, maybe that'll pop up.
So there you go.
He really was looking forward to being waterboarded.
We'll find out a few things about George in this episode, but he does not seem to be a smooth operator in terms of being a spy.
No, nothing is going right for this guy.
Yeah.
How about you? Was there anybody that stood out?
Well, let's just talk about a little bit what the mission is and then give some color into how we got to meet these characters. So from what I understood, that they brought them to a modeling agency and they told them they just get as many phone numbers as you can. Was that the mission? Like, I thought they were trying to get a specific person's phone number at first. Okay. No, it seems like it's just like, hey, who can get the most numbers?
And I don't even think they positioned it as a volume of numbers thing. So the first mission, it was presented in two stages. Stage one was the camping, get smelly. Stage two was, it had three components to the mission. It was blend in, establish connection, get a phone number.
Yeah, get a phone number. And so that, did you think that there was one specific person's phone number they needed to get?
I didn't. I thought that they could just get it any way they needed to. Because I think, if it wouldn't have been an actor because then it would have been too easy or staged. But then if it wasn't an actor, having everybody try to get the same person's number is going to look fishy to that person. So I assumed it was this get any phone number. But I think the trick was, they said you basically get more brownie points if you can get the phone number without asking for it. If the person just kind of offers it up, although we didn't really see what the payoff of not directly asking for the phone number was.
Yes. How would you do at this mission, Kurt?
I would have sucked at this mission. I would have been George at the bar looking around trying to figure out. This is how I'm like any live know-it-alls event is I don't know like how to break conversations with people I haven't already met. So this would have been,
You need an opener.
I need an opener.
You need a wingman.
Yes. I make a good wingman. I just need one for myself.
You need a wingman that can walk around. Have you met my friend Kurt? That's what you need.
I would have done well at the camping part.
Are you a camper?
No, I don't. I don't enjoy it, but I'm good at it.
Okay.
growing up in the Midwest in like West Michigan, camping was like just part and parcel of the experience.
Yeah, I would not have enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not a big sweater. I would have probably been cold to go camping. So don't know if I would have been extra smelly to show up at the party.
Yeah, it would not have been enjoyable, but mm-hmm. I would have gotten through it and regrouped. I mean, who knows? Maybe it would have actually thrown me on my game, because I'm usually off mm-hmm. my game when it comes to social interactions with strangers.
Yeah. All right. Another standout for me was certainly Mitch, who, spoiler alert, is going to be our first casualty of Spy Games, Dr. Mitch Abrams. We learned a lot about Dr. Mitch, the New Jersey prison psychologist. Dr. Mitch is a doctor. He does let the other contestants onto the fact that he is a doctor, and allows the other contestants to guess what kind of doctor he might be.
And I say, well, yeah, maybe I'm a proctologist. I'm just an expert in all you assholes. And and that, I thought that was pretty funny. They didn't.
Dr. Mitch is not going to win over too many friends, at least among the Spy Game contestants.
Yeah, I think he won over a lot of friends at the bar. I think this was the if Brett LaBelle was on Spy Games, I think I saw him taking. I would have seen him taking this approach in the first mission.
Yeah, I was going to say that Dr. Mitch is sort of maybe like if Brett LaBelle and Dr. Mike had a baby. It would be Dr. Mitch, I think.
Yeah, that's I think pretty spot on. I liked Mitch, and I
loved Mitch.
Yeah, he was a very, in terms of the rest of the, he stood out as being different from the rest of the cast. And I think he also realized this, mm-hmm. and he's like, I'm not going to win people over with my face. I'm going to win them over with my mouth, and he did
mm-hmm. For a while. Yeah.
For a while, yeah. he did a lot of shots, but yeah. So basically, his approach to getting the numbers was to just
life of the party,
belly up to the bar,
yeah,
talk to people, see who's getting shot. I don't know if it was an open bar or not, because there's a little, you know, who wants shots all around. If it's an open bar, then no, okay. Mm-hmm. But he had like a crowd of like, you know, six or seven people around him. He got a ton of numbers. I think he, other than maybe Chelsea, who we'll talk about later, mm-hmm. probably got the most numbers.
Yeah. So there were some people that were doing well getting the phone numbers. Nika, who was somebody else that we saw a lot of, she got off to a good start, ended up having a big faux pas at this party where she ended up talking with a guy who owned a gym, and mm-hmm. she got into a plank contest, a plank off.
As one does.
Yes. Yes. It was the planking challenge.
Yeah.
And she got into it with him, and apparently this is a faux pas. If you're a spy, you should not be planking at the big billionaire conference.
They didn't really, I thought interesting. They didn't spell out as part of the challenge, but they said that one of the things to consider was blending in. Mm-hmm. And I think the unspoken part of that was don't stand out. Because mm-hmm. I guess you could take blending in to be, you know, find your way to become part of the group. I think that's where Mitch and Nika both failed, was they called a lot of attention to themselves. Like Nika started out well, like she had positioned herself as she had just gotten done shooting a music video or something. I may be thinking of the wrong person, mm-hmm. but she told two girls that she was a fashion designer,
mm-hmm.
and and they were like, oh, let us know if you need models. And they like, and so there was kind of a, yeah, let me, you know, give me your information. And
yeah.
So she got numbers. She's like, that was easy. I didn't mm-hmm. even need it. So she got a little bit cocky. She's like, you know, I did this so easy. I can easily get some people's numbers without having to directly ask. And by going down that road, she kind of spelled a doom for herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was going to be something that was going to be very upsetting to the judges. Can we talk a little bit about the judges, Douglas, Evie, and Errol?
Yes. So we kind of alluded to it, I think, a little bit earlier. Evie was one of the members of a hunter team on Hunted.
Yeah.
She is
a good agent.
Yes. Former Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Errol Southers, former FBI. You'll see former is a common theme through all three of these mm-hmm. cases. And then Doug Lowe, or Laux, not sure how to pronounce it. Former CIA case officer.
Mm.
Doug seemed to almost be like taking the lead here in terms of narrating everything, which I didn't mind. I thought he was really good. I mean, he opens up the show by saying, this isn't real. These people aren't going to be fighting, you know, terror. This is spy games, but it's a game. And if you want to win it,
what if they're really good at it?
You know, who knows? The people may receive recruitment calls at the end of it. You say, yeah, this is a game. You're gonna have to fight to win, and I'm gonna put you through hell if you're gonna win.
Okay.
So I like his attitude.
The host of the show is Mia Kang.
Yes.
Do we know anything about Mia Kang?
Muay Thai kickboxer.
Whoa.
Model. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneur. I'm gonna guess. You know, entrepreneur is a good guess for anybody. Mm-hmm. A quick look. I already kind of blanked on her Wikipedia page, but she was there to just kind of like guide things along. But I'd say the people we saw the most of were the assessors, mm-hmm. and who we heard the most of.
Yeah, she did not make a big impression. Mia Kang. Yeah. I cannot think of one thing she did in the episode other than just be standing by the judges. Because did the judges deliver the death blow of who was eliminated? Or did they let Mia Kang do that?
I honestly don't recall.
She doesn't have a lot to do there.
She doesn't have a lot to do there. Yeah.
They could have let the three judges.
We may see more of her in upcoming episodes. Who knows? It seemed like they were just kind of like testing the waters on how things are going to go in this first episode.
Okay. We have some better Spy Games players that were, we had some standouts here. Colin is a standout.
Who? Colin? Oh, yeah. The gray man.
No, I think that was did they call him the Gray Man?
Yeah. They asked if they knew the concept of the Gray Man.
Yes, as explained, the Gray Man.
Has anyone ever heard of the term being the Gray Man?
Yes. What is the Gray Man, Kurt?
As Saif, who we saw very little of during this episode, explained, he's kind of the Gray Man is the person who blends into the background who you didn't necessarily know was there. The Purple Man.
Yes, Purple Man, as we would say. Kurt, these are your favorite characters on the reality TV show, are they not?
Yes.
The Gray Man?
I go for the Vanilla Vanilla Man. Yes. Anybody who watches Top Chef knows that my draft pick is always the bland.
Yes.
Yeah. Colin didn't make a big display. He found a single person. I hate using the word target. A single mark, as George said. And he got this individual, I believe her name was Taylor, to, they conversed and he complimented her and he talked about his travel and she offered to give him her number and then he kind of got out of there. So he was,
in and out,
no fuss. No need to mingle.
Right.
So, and whereas I think they point out Mitch was there longer than anybody.
Colin's definitely the winner, right?
I don't know because they are also editing him to be a little bit cocky. He was very happy with this choice of assignment where a big component of it was looking good at a gala.
And he acknowledged, and getting a phone number.
He's like, I was cut out for this.
Was made for me.
Exactly. We'll see. I don't know after the first episode if we're supposed to be rooting for anybody yet. Maybe Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think she probably received the most positive.
What about underdog Nika?
Underdog Nika. Potentially. I am
playing
rooting
hard.
Yeah. We will talk more about the last 10 minutes and kind of how this didn't end the way a reality show would typically end. Given what happens towards the close of this, I'm glad Nika stuck around and I'm curious where things go with them.
Okay. Then we have Chelsea, who was another standout for the ladies. She managed to get, was it 13 phone numbers, Kurt?
No, it was actually 14.
14, yes. 14 phone numbers. How did she pull this off?
She posed as event staff and she had used her clutch as a raffle container and we didn't talk about the dossiers. So every player was given an all important dossier, which consisted of basically, it looked like blank pages.
It was like loose leaf paper and it has a picture of each person. And then you could write your notes about like, this person seems like a huge D-bag.
Yeah.
Do not work with them.
I believe a similar approach. I think the mole, they also had their mole journals and they were encouraged to take notes and everything. So there's my connection to the mole, the dossiers.
Yes, they have notebooks.
Yes, they have notebooks. And so she used her dossier just to, like kind of the clipboard effect or the lab coat effect. It was like she, by carrying this closed black notebook, it made her look official. And she was going around telling people that there was a a raffle and that they needed to submit their phone numbers for the raffle. And she got 14 phone numbers this way.
Yeah. And she's like, and I would have gotten more, but I ran out of paper. Like, how hard was it to get paper? Did anybody else run into this problem? Like, I could have gotten phone numbers. The paper was the hot commodity. I couldn't get any more paper. Otherwise, I would have gotten even more numbers.
You saw Christina was even like writing a phone number on her hand. Mm-hmm. And the person's like, oh, I'm not going to lose this. Mm-hmm. The thing that confused me was like during the assessment, Assessor Evie says that was ingenious. But I thought during the show, I thought we got a little bit of the Dodo music. I thought that she was going to potentially get bit by people. Mm-hmm. She was getting questioned a lot. Like, who are you? Are you with the event? Are you with STK? I think
trying to be discreet, Raffle Girl seems like somebody that might be memorable.
Yeah. At least she wasn't like collecting money. It wasn't a 50-50 raffle.
She's like, hey, it's $20 a ticket for the raffle.
Exactly.
She's like, actually, and I made $370.
$390.
Okay, but Chelsea, we find out that she's a planner.
Yes, she's a planner. She's a law student. She's a planner. She Googled what would a spy read before.
And she did exactly that.
Yeah.
But we got an anecdote from her about to what degree that she is going to. She has a great relationship with her mom.
Yeah, she does.
Yes. And she talks about that in the episode.
I never lied to my parents growing up. Because I was an only child, my mom was my best friend. And like, we even planned losing my virginity together. Like, she knew like 4 months in advance.
Now, which is we planned losing my virginity together.
They planned together for losing her virginity.
Got it. Can we talk this through?
That's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice. Now, am I being presumptive to say that maybe this was her wedding day that they planned?
I think you are being, yes, I think you're being presumptive.
They planned her wedding night.
That's getting... That even then leads down a whole different problematic road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know that she's married.
Okay. We don't know.
Yes.
But this was, I mean, that is a great relationship with, forget your mom is your best friend. Any best friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's plan this out. Okay. All right. Here's what we're going to do. All right.
A 4 month window for that. I mean,
that's a lot of pressure.
The word entrapment comes to mind.
Mom, I don't know if I can go through with this anymore.
We've spent 3.5 months. You can't back out now.
Yeah. Right.
Then it goes wrong. Like, all right, for another 4 months, we got to wait for this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure on Chelsea.
Yeah.
Mom.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Who else were some other standouts? Anybody else you want to highlight?
I was intrigued by Jessica. Mm-hmm. The cannabis entrepreneur.
Yeah, what about her?
The fact that she said that she has 10 to 12 fake internet personalities. She's very. I was like,
yeah, get her on the circle. She's exactly. Ready to go.
Yeah, like get her out. She gets kicked out. She comes back in again.
Message Jessica emoji marijuana leaf. I don't think they have that emoji. That's not an emoji.
Maybe just in some states.
Yeah, some states. She says a lot of different profiles. Why does she need that many profiles to catfish people?
I don't know. Getting like,
what's she doing?
Like when we find out each person does have a secret, and somebody was kicked off of a dating site. I thought it would be her for sure. Like,
no.
I thought that maybe they found out that she had a fake profile. She said that she's was diagnosed when she was young. As being a kind of high functioning autistic, but she figures things out very quickly. So I'm really intrigued to see more from her. And I think she was another person who kind of got in and out really quick.
Yeah, she says she has created notorious personas in various online forums to troll other users. That's in her bio. Through high-level catfishing, she also helped several friends and clients catch cheating spouses and partners.
Ooh.
After several years in the tech sector, she transitioned to the cannabis industry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I remember her saying during the show that she does this to help her. Well, she said to help others and herself. So it's a public service.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So
Jeff, I'm staying on her good side.
Stay on her good side. There was a couple other interesting characters we met. Christina.
Yeah.
Christina is the stay-at-home mom, but she seems like that she has an interesting background. She says she's a social media influencer is her official title here in her bio.
We're going to learn a little
she's
bit more about
time,
her. She's done time.
She's done time.
She's not fully stay-at-home. Sometimes unless it was house arrest, then she can't be fully stay-at-home.
So she has been to different groups' homes and was in foster care, but then she ended up racking up some juvenile offenses. She ended up in prison for 3 years, and she had to look out for intimidating guards and dangerous inmates. She knew there was only two options: make a permanent life change to stay on the criminal path, or she can go straight.
I wonder if she knew Dr. Mitch. They weren't. Maybe that's why they put them at separate campsites.
Yeah. So she's street smart.
She's street smart. Yes.
She's seen it all.
Yep.
Yeah. What does she do as a social media influencer?
That I don't know. They didn't talk about that on the show.
It didn't come out on the show. And I got to see if I can find her Insta. What do you think she's talking about? Do you think she's talking about like, hey, you don't have to.
It's a mommy blogger?
Yeah. Okay. I found her YouTube channel. And this is, she has some not great stories. How I got pregnant by an officer in prison. That's not good. That's not good. No. She also has a YouTube video called Husband Reacts to Wife's Shady Instagram Posts.
Oh.
Okay. So she's got a lot going on. I gotta watch some of these YouTube videos. Although not a ton of a following on Insta.
Let's see if we can fix that.
Although her account is private. Private account.
Oh, okay.
Right, do you want to hear any of Husband Reacts to Wife's Shady Instagram Posts?
Do
I'm
I?
I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'm spy curious here. Okay. Let's see.
I mean...
OMG. Really, Christina?
She has 454,000 subscribers on YouTube. So
nice.
So okay. All right. So she's got something going on YouTube.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. You want to hear a little bit more of this?
What's going on?
Are a returning subscriber. Y'all already know. Y'all are my babies. So today I clearly have another person here with me. This is my husband, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
So many of you guys ask me all the time on my Instagram about him and stuff. He is not
private Instagram.
Super thrilled about being filmed most of the time. Are you, babe? When I'm sticking a camera in your face?
No.
But I talked him into this video. Yes, I'm so excited. And I just took a poll on the IG. If you're not following me on the IG, what are you doing with your life? Get over there and follow me on Instagram. I post stuff.
Maybe it's a different Instagram. Maybe she has a better Instagram.
Or maybe it's recently private, like just as of 10 p.m. last night.
No, I think the one that showed up in the Google search. Yeah, this one has 74,000 followers.
Okay.
All right. So that's just...
Well, it's good. She's separating, her...
She's got something going on.
Yeah.
Look at her.
Yeah.
Look at her. There she goes. Christina A. Randall. Okay, it's like a It's Melissa thing. Christina A. Randall on Instagram. 74,000 followers if you want to check out what's going on. And you can watch her whole YouTube video if you want to see her husband react to her shady posts. How shady did they get? I'm dying to know. Okay. All right, so her husband does not seem to like these pictures. I'm like scrolling ahead in the YouTube video, and she's like in a bikini, and he's looking at the picture. He doesn't look happy.
No,
that didn't come up on Spy Games. Okay, Kurt. But back to some of the other standouts from the cast. Saif,
yeah, didn't get a lot of airtime. We see him at the mixer saying, "Do you have any Arabic friends?" Well, mm-hmm. I'm your first one.
He gets We get his background that he was born in Iraq.
Yeah, in Baghdad.
And he was a translator with the army.
The U.S. Army. Yeah,
with the U.S. Army. Yes. Yep. We got to meet him. We also got to meet Charnel, who has some big moments at the end of the episode.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And,
yes, we'll definitely hear a bit more from her.
So that's the cast.
You forgot about Brock.
Yeah, and then Brock.
And Brock.
And then there's Brock.
And that's Purple Brock.
Yes. Okay.
Gray Brock.
There you go. Anyway, so they go to the party, then they get assessed by the judges. Mm-hmm. And then it's Dr. Mitch and Nika and to some degree, George. Does he get dressed down?
George gets dressed down, I believe, not so much for his behavior at the... There's some things we see George having to go through that are kind of unfortunate at the mixer, which are amazing.
Yeah.
But he gets dressed down, literally.
For being dressed down.
Yeah.
He's like, where's your tie, George?
And he left his dossier in the car.
Yeah, he took it off. George has a moment at the party.
This is great.
And George is like, you know, he has some confidence that he walks into the party with. He sees his mark. He sees a young man on crutches, and he tells us, okay, I found my person. I'm going to go up and get this guy's phone number.
Excuse me, sir. Shut up. Looking dapper, crutches and all.
Thanks.
How'd it happen?
I was kind of born with it.
Oof.
And the great thing is...
Just in case you couldn't hear that, yeah. With the music, yes, that he asks this young man on crutches, hey, how'd it happen? You're looking dapper.
Which is a fair thing. Like, I've actually gone to a party on crutches, and it's a great... If you're the guy on crutches...
It's an opener.
It's an opener. Yeah, I didn't need a wingman that night.
Yeah. He says, well, I was born with it.
Yeah. And, oof. And the thing is, like, George realizes that, mm-hmm. like, this is one of those things where, like, he...
Like, bad question.
Yeah, he's like, this is one of those, nothing's going right for him despite his best efforts.
Yeah.
There's things that he makes mistakes on, yes. This is no fault of George's. Like, I think this was people like to talk about accidents that they've had, but this was unfortunately apparently a lifelong thing for this young man.
Yes, yes. Okay. So the judges identify that it's going to be Mitch and Nika. Nika, how could you do planks in front of everybody?
Yes, and Mitch... They asked him, you're taking photos of all these people.
Yeah.
Where'd these photos go? Social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your cover's blown.
Yeah, Dr. Mitch, he pulled up to the bar. He was doing shots. He was taking selfies with a bunch of models. I think he forgot that he was on a show. Like, I think he thought he was on some different show where you just have to get a bunch of girls' phone numbers.
Yeah, he forgot the context of the mission.
Yeah. What does he ask for? He asked for, like, a coffee and Jameson and not in that order.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a fun guy at a party, Dr. Mitch, and he was doing great. He got a lot of photos, but then they end up bringing the two of them to the interrogation, send everybody else back to
the safe house. Yes.
Safe house. They're going to live together in a mansion.
Yeah. Yeah. It tracks.
That's good.
Yeah.
So Dr. Mitch and Nika under interrogation simultaneously.
Yeah.
Why should you stay? Why should they leave?
Very apprentice-like, I thought, this part of it. Dr. Mitch is coming off as very, I don't want to say cool, calm, and collective, but he is very just kind of passive. His emotions are steady.
Mm-hmm.
And Nika is getting you know, passionate and defending herself and pulling camping equipment out of her purse.
Nika is like emptying her purse out to show everything that she brought. She's like, I'm not good at making fire, so I brought this, and I'm not good at direction, so I brought this compass, and I'm not good at measuring things, so I brought this ruler. And so she's like dumping everything out. Yeah. Dr. Mitch is like sitting there, just like stone face.
Yeah. Until they ask him like why you should stay over Nika.
Yes. And then, what's his line?
I'm more emotionally balanced than she is.
Yes.
It doesn't go over well.
Yes. So Nika takes exception to that. She did not like that.
Yes.
She did not like that.
Yeah.
Dr. Mitch felt like, okay, Nika is cracking here because she is really being very passionate about why she should stay. Dr. Mitch is like, by contrast, I'm going to sit here and say nothing.
Exactly.
I'm confident. I'm just going to be confident.
Yes.
I'm Dr. Mitch.
Yeah. And
damn it.
And to Nika's credit, I think this is Dr. Mitch trying to frame Nika's responses in a particular way for the judges. He's trying to kind of prime their behavior. I don't think it took based on the outcome.
Does he say to the judges, her voice is cracking? She's getting desperate.
I believe so. I believe he did use those words. I can't remember. He definitely talked about the voice cracking. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if this was The Apprentice, this is like the classic scenario. Like one person is really, you know, fighting to be there. The other person is sort of more nonchalant.
Yeah. And trying to let the person dig themselves a hole in some way or kind of show how they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then like the, there's no, you know, like The Apprentice, they get put into like a holding area while they get, The assessors discuss the situation. Right.
So Nika is going to talk to Dr. Mitch about her displeasure with Dr. Mitch.
Never call a woman emotionally unbalanced. Please.
I wasn't talking about a woman. I was talking about you.
Ooh, Dr. Mitch, what does that mean?
Ooh. Yeah, I understand. I think he was trying to imply that the statement wasn't driven by the fact that you're a woman. The statement was driven by the fact that I viewed you as a, but still.
I love Dr. Mitch, but he does not have a great moment here.
No.
It goes on.
Your voice is breaking.
Yes. And that's passion.
I think you look desperate.
Dr. Mitch. Neek is a good sport.
Yes.
And I am a woman. Proud.
Okay.
And she did say she respects his game.
She did. She did close on a positive note.
Yeah.
And as we'll see, she leads to some of the, I think, great TV at the end of the episode as well, mm-hmm. through her actions.
Right. So we're happy Nika gets to stay.
Yes.
Dr. Mitch was fun, but we're going to move on. They dispatch Dr. Mitch kind of unceremoniously.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we learned you can leave your dossier on the table and you'll be able to basically gift it.
Will it to somebody a fire token.
Exactly. Like a fire, like the legacy advantage. If you put it out early.
Yes. Okay. So Dr. Mitch leaves his thing. And then I'm like, there's a lot of time left in this episode.
Yeah.
What's going on? So, all right. Let me just stop here because I feel like that this is like normally like the end of the episode. I feel like a normal episode of Spy Games is going to end. Okay. Somebody gets kicked off. We end up starting the second episode. And I felt like that overall, my review here of Spy Games is like this first episode, I thought that like up until this point is very confusing. I really don't know what's going on. I saw people get dressed up. I saw them go camping. Then they went somewhere and asked for phone numbers. I don't know what this was. And then they got yelled at for making
doing exercises and doing shots.
I don't know who these people are. I don't know what this was. That was like through 45 minutes of the show. Yeah. I would like to say that I feel like that things did pick up with the start of the second task. And I think that maybe the creators of the show knew, hey, this first episode is kind of a dud. Let's structure it a little differently. Let's get into the second episode where some more interesting stuff is going on.
Right. And this would, I guess, be the what happens at the house before the second mission officially kicks off with the assessors. It's kind of that period between when someone comes back from being judged and the next mission officially beginning.
Yeah. They've got sort of a weird mailbox. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think they call it a dead drop. It's kind of the place where a spy can always go to get notes and stuff on their next mission. You often see spy movies where the person goes to a bench and like reaches underneath it and there's like a message
that's
from their hand.
That's the name tag on it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's where they keep their dossier?
I believe
or,
that's...
Or they get, this is where they get the new tree mail.
It's their individual tree mail. It's like if tree mail... I don't know how to get... Like in the foyer of your apartment complex where all of the mailboxes are. Everybody has their own individual tree mail kind of here. There may be stuff in it. There may not be. But it sounds like this is where they go to receive their notes.
Mm-hmm. And so in this new task, they end up getting like a list of like fun facts about everybody.
Yeah. I paused it and read the note. Apparently everybody there has a secret and they basically get a list of the 10 secrets. And, and it says in the note, that being able to match the player to their secret will become crucial towards the final stages of the game. So this isn't their next official mission
okay.
yet.
I thought this was.
No, this is more like an interlude between
before
their next official mission, which I think looks like it'd be like a lock picking mission.
I thought that this was interesting because I thought that it's sort of like the establishing these fun facts about the characters. I thought like gave a little bit of color to the personalities of everybody that was involved because we found some interesting fun facts about the cast.
Yes, we did.
Yes. Kurt, do you have any favorite fun facts that we found out from the other people?
I have to go back to my man, George.
Yes. What happened to George?
Is he the person who lived in Qatar? No, he didn't live in Qatar. Someone lived in Qatar. Was he a person that was known as Dr. Death? No. But one of the people was kicked off of a dating site.
Yeah.
And I was like, please don't let that be George. He's got enough.
Somebody was kicked off of a dating site, and it was George.
I got kicked off of Tinder. I got banned from Tinder. But I promise, nothing creepy. Nothing creepy.
All right, George. Boop, 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 boop. Okay, George.
Was that your lie detector?
No, that was my backup. Backup. Okay, let's back this up. Okay, because... Kurt, I know you were famously on Ship, the dating app. Of course.
For a hot minute.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm not on any dating apps.
Right.
I haven't been on one other than Ship when I was trying to help you meet people, when I was your wingman on Ship. But to get kicked off of Tinder.
Banned
from Tinder.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you have to do to get banned from Tinder?
I feel that I'm like derelict in my duties. I did not go through the terms of a like user agreement for Tinder. I don't know. I've
heard some Tinder horror stories and nobody is banned that I know of from Tinder.
I thought that Jessica, the person with 10 to 12 fake online profiles, would have been that secret keeper.
Yeah.
She's a kickboxer.
Okay.
Or a professional fighter.
All right.
It turns out.
How to get banned from Tinder. This is an article from the BBC. And this is how you get banned from Tinder. Creating more than 60 fake profiles was an abscapade too far for Jake. Don't be like Jake. Do you think that George could have been catfishing on Tinder?
I don't.
No.
I don't. I'm struggling. Like, I think it was, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that it was an innocuous. It was like some like thing buried deep in their terms.
You violate the terms of service.
Yeah. I sadly don't know enough about the, using it for inappropriate. I don't even want to say inappropriate. So I don't know. I know there. I did check out the Spy Games hashtag after the show to see what was being said. And that's a lot of people have questions about this.
Yeah. Okay. We would love to know. We would love to know if anybody can help us determine how George could have gotten banned on Tinder.
Yes.
Because that seems odd.
Yes.
Seems like a lot of stuff goes on Tinder and nobody's getting banned except for George.
Right.
That we know of.
That we know of.
That we know of. Also, I don't think I would have told the producers I got banned from Tinder.
Yeah. And this is one of the things where I'm wondering how many of these, like, I hope the producers check that nobody else has lived in Qatar, that nobody else is banned from a dating site.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Christina also had an interesting revelation.
Yes.
We find out that somebody was charged with racketeering. This is how Christina tells the story.
I've done many things in my life that I shouldn't have, and I've definitely broken the law, but I never had anything to do with racketeering. I was innocent, and I genuinely was. I would tell you because I got enough stuff that I've done.
I believe her.
I just love how she said, I have definitely broken the law. She also talked about, was it Chelsea? She's like, I don't like that girl. She looks like a cop. Why is she walking around here like a cop?
She's clocking everybody.
Yeah,
she's assessing them.
Yeah.
I don't trust that. She's got to go.
She did not like her.
And the thing is about, we don't know how much variety there's going to be in these. Like our contestants, well, like we kind of have an answer towards the end of the episode, like are contestants going to be able to mess with each other's games mm-hmm. in a way that will affect how they are seen in the eyes of the assessors? Are there going to be any objective, like you are the slowest at this, so you do go home? We don't know yet, but we do know that people can kind of mess with each other.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is that people are working on their dossier. They're trying to fill in the answers. They're looking things up. And so one of the women, Charnel, who had not gotten a lot of airtime up to that point, she sort of left her dossier. She had her like folder, like which is like the outer cover of the dossier, but the actual dossier notebook itself, she had left it unattended. And here comes Nika, fresh off of the, you know, almost being eliminated. She ends up putting her dossier on top of Charnel's dossier, and she ends up being able to confiscate Charnel's dossier.
Yeah, she just puts her stuff on top of it, sits down next to Charnel, and she doesn't notice. Charnel doesn't notice. And mm-hmm. Everyone's kind of getting up to leave, Nika just grabs her stuff along with Charnel's dossier and he's like, I'm going to read through this. This is fair game. And apparently, and it's the sort of thing that I think the producers would encourage.
Yes. So Nika is able to escape. Meanwhile, Chelsea has sort of like gone off and has gone into the library where she had been gifted Dr. Mitch's dossier.
Yeah. So the situation is Charnel is missing a dossier and Chelsea has an extra dossier.
Yes. Okay. So Charnel eventually is going to realize, hey, my dossier is missing, and she goes on the warpath, and you know what? They don't call her Dr. Death for nothing.
Someone has the nickname Dr. Death.
It's Charnel. She's Dr. Death.
Well, I was wondering, because I know Charnel's a word, and I looked it up just before we started recording, and so a charnel house, spelled the exact same way, is a place that's like a building that is a repository for human remains. And Charnel as an mm-hmm. adjective means associated with death.
With Dr. Death.
So I think it's just a nickname based on her name and not like the fact that she is doing anything shady.
She is on the warpath. She's looking for who has my dossier, and she does not find Nika, who locks the dossier in her footlocker. But here's Chelsea working in the library, and from a woman who didn't have any paper earlier when she couldn't get any more phone numbers, now she suddenly has a lot of paper. Charnel says, hey, you have my dossier.
And Chelsea does not give a full explanation of why she
has. No, I don't. She's like, yes, you do.
And I think that potentially, from Chelsea's perspective, if she doesn't mm-hmm. know that Charnel's dossier is missing. Mm-hmm. She's not maybe putting two and two together, but she sees Charnel come in. Charnel sees that she has two dossiers. And I love this kind of mix up and cross connection. You see somebody with two dossiers, you assume yours is missing. I'm not completely surprised that she assumed that she had her dossier.
How did the episode end, Kurt?
Charnel is basically yanking the dossier out of Chelsea out of her chair, the dossier out of Chelsea's hands. And that's all actually I kind of just remember. I was just like, is this actually
like, a dossier fight?
There was no tables being flipped.
Looked like that they were like went to the floor.
Yeah. And I mean, assuming like their names are on the dossiers. Mm-hmm. It's just that Charnel hasn't looked at it yet. I'm sure mm-hmm. that in the first 2 minutes of the next episode, that gets cleared up. But we also see from, I think, the upcoming episodes, there's more things of Charnel taking stuff out of people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this. Things got interesting. We don't yet know what if people are capturing, correct information about each other or to what extent this is going to have an impact on the edge of the game on the end of the game. So we'll see where things go.
Yeah, so it was sort of a wild end to Spy Game's first episode, but I feel like that it's episode two seems like it's picking up. I was, had very, not high grades for what would be the first episode of the show, but as we started to get into the second episode, I felt like that like this was getting more interesting.
Right. It seems like they're going to be, and then also in the next episode, it looks like they enter some sort of obstacle course-y, lock-picking challenge with things blowing up in difficult situations mm-hmm. and remaining cool under pressure. So you know, it seems like if that's literally a competition to see who can get through a series of locks, there's maybe a little bit more objective than subjective. So so I definitely plan on keeping up with it and seeing where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. And I do think that there was a reason why they ended up putting two episodes available online.
Yeah.
Kurt, have you heard any buzz? Have you heard anything about Spy Games?
And how it did?
Yeah.
No. I now follow Errol on Twitter.
Yes.
He was promoting it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of usage of the Spy Games hashtag. Others are like the people who were using it were mm-hmm. mostly enthusiastic and didn't see a lot of tweeting from any of the cast.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it feels like a weird fit on Bravo. Yeah. I know that, you know, that it's not all just Housewives and, you know, Vanderpump.
Yeah, it has its Top Chef, which is a great mm-hmm. show. Project Runway, I mm-hmm. believe, is a great show. I believe the current season is back on Bravo. This is a little bit of a departure. Mm-hmm. But I like that it didn't take itself too seriously. I mean, any show that uses the Dodo music is, you know, kind of
sure
winking and nodding.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't campy. I wouldn't say they went camping.
Yes.
But I would not say that this was campy.
No, it wasn't.
Is this destined to end up on the new streaming service Peacock?
I'm not familiar with the streaming service Peacock.
The NBC, new brand new streaming service. I'm not sure when that launches.
I thought you were going to ask, is this going to be the Clark Curse dossier?
Yes. Okay, well, do you think that this Spy Games is going to finish the run?
Okay. I know that, you know, Top Chef usually starts in
Peacock coming April 15th, 2020.
Okay. Well, it might end up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, Top Chef usually starts in late November, early December, and then takes a little break over the winter holidays. This year, we're not getting Top Chef starting until like the mid spring. And so I think my assumption is that this is going to go through its run and then it's going to kind of turn over to Top Chef.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I don't know to what extent Bravo has a high tolerance or low tolerance for the ratings on the shows it gets, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I want it to do well.
Okay.
And yet I'm podcasting about it.
Yes. No, it's not you. It's not you. You're fine. You're fine. I see one review from Decider. The new reality competition series is just as dramatic as your favorite Bravo shows. So that's something. Andy Denhart on Reality Blurred said, I didn't expect Bravo Spy Games to actually be a revival of The Mole, but I also did not expect it to be tonally confused. Vaguely defined competition with some really smart challenges, which hint at what it wants, an incredibly sharp idea that was chipped away over time to become softer, less distinctive, and more annoying.
Ouch.
He said, I saw the first four episodes, half the season, and in those, there is one spectacular spy-like challenge in which the contestants have to break into a house and steal something that is both thrilling and head-scratching moments from the players.
Oh, great. Well.
So
one out of four.
he says it's a good challenge. I think that this is it's a tricky line to walk, and we loved Whodunit, and they did it, and they didn't take it seriously.
Would you have described Whodunit as campy?
Certainly.
Okay, good.
I mean, I feel like that Whodunit is the campiest show.
Yeah.
That
The Quest.
I mean, The Quest was, I feel like that kind of took itself seriously.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It did. As seriously as a reality show with slaying goblins and dragons.
But they never like made fun of the fact that it was where I felt like that Whodunit was, you know, Giles was, you know, making, all these puns and
in the midst of death and destruction.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I think that did not take itself seriously. True. I think that goes a long way. I think that shows that the show is having fun.
Yeah,
these are not people who are spies. You don't need to be as serious.
Correct. Yeah, it's. I think I like the tone it's taking. It's the structure that I'm like just it's slippery. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't you like to know what to expect from week to week. And it, with any new show, we're not there yet.
Okay. All right. Let us know what you thought about Spy Games on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sisterino. Kurt is at Kurt Clark. Kurt, anything else to say about Spy Games?
Yeah, I'd say that if you haven't watched, if you're just listening to this and you haven't watched the first episode, I'd say give the first couple episodes a shot. It's not going to hurt anybody.
I feel like I would love to know how long this episode was without commercials, because I watched this, I recorded it, and I felt like there were so many commercials in this. And I felt like that the commercial breaks were like 7 minutes long.
Yeah, I because I was constantly pausing and taking notes, I had no real sense of time here.
I have no idea what the pacing is like on a regular Bravo show, but I was like, well, I mean, is this like episode like 30 minutes? is this a 30-minute episode with 30 minutes of commercials?
And I think part of it was also probably accentuated by the fact that what was normally the climax of the elimination.
I don't know. The timing was off also on this, so a little bit off.
Yeah, but yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. It's nice to at least have a new competition show to try out.
I would rather watch more of this than The Million Dollar Mile.
Yes.
That's fair. That is fair. This has a ongoing story and not just the same thing every week. I get it.
And it's a nice thing to tide me over until the Circle France starts up on Netflix.
You watch the Circle France?
No, Netflix is releasing it. You can on Netflix, you can set the reminder for when the Circle France and the Circle Brazil come. But I think they're coming
to put like VPN that you're in France.
No. I think they're going to be.
Why don't they put the Circle UK on Netflix?
I don't, because it wasn't like created by Netflix. I don't know. All I know is that on my Netflix, it said the Circle France, bookmarked this until it basically gets broadcast or shown or something.
Can we watch Spy Games UK?
I don't think there is one. That was hunted.
Well, that would be James Bond. That would be much more exciting.
Well, so it's funny because I actually went to the UK last summer and I did like this live escape roomy type thing on the streets of London, where you were basically in an espionage movie. You had to tail people on the streets. So you had to break into a safe house. Mm-hmm. You had to like avoid closed circuit cameras. You had your handler in your ear telling you where to go and when to hide.
Oh my God.
It was actually pretty cool. So this kind of brought back memories of that.
Okay. Kurt, what else do you have going on these days?
Nothing, Rob. You know.
Okay.
waiting for Top Chef to kick off again.
Waiting for Top Chef.
Waiting for obviously all the different all-stars.
You're way into it. I feel like that you are maybe the premier foodie that I know.
I do eat a lot.
But you Instagram the food a lot. I say, Kurt is. I feel like I'm exhausted just trying to keep up with all the places that you're eating.
I'd take pictures of my friends if I had any, but I just got food.
Yes, you're all over the place. You go and you go to the different places that the Top Chef people cook at, right?
Yeah, we got lots of locals in the area. Brooke Williamson has several places down
incredible.
In Pryor.
Yeah, it's great. This would be an exhausting hobby. I don't know how you do it.
And the new season is based in LA, I believe. Mm-hmm. So we'll hopefully find new places to check out as well.
Okay. Are you a chef? Are you a cook?
I do like the meal kits.
Meal kits.
Otherwise, it's sandwiches.
Okay. There you go.
Give me all the ingredients and a set of instructions and I'm good. But if I have to, on my own accord, I'm lost.
All right. Kurt, I still got more podcasting to do tonight. I got a Patreon 5 for $5 coming up. We had a brand new News AF today.
Yeah.
We got a lot more coming up this week. I had earlier this week, Lauren Ashley Beck was here from Survivor Season 39.
Was she in this very chair?
In that very chair. In that very chair. That's going to go up on Wednesday. I'm also going to talk with Bryce Isaiah later on this week. He's going to take a look at the cast photos. Want to know who's got that look.
Is he going to be biased?
I don't know. We'll find out. That's going to be, I believe, Thursday night. You guys are going to hear that one as well. And also be on the lookout for my latest Talking with T-Bird. The Sepia was my guest on the latest Talking with T-Bird podcast. So we have had a ton of content this week here on Rob as a Podcast. Of course, you can get even more content, the Patreon 5 for 5, everything that we do with the Facebook Friday and more in our Patreon podcast feed at robiswebsite.com/Patron, of course, access to our Patron Facebook group. Keep track of all the events that we have going on for season 40 at robhasawebsite.com/Patron. patron. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre putting this all together tonight. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.